Welcome to Partnering with Parents, brought to you by the Classical Academies. Join us every other Tuesday as we educate, encourage, and support parents in their role as the primary educator.
All right. Well, this is Cameron Curry, the CEO for the Classical Academies. It's time again to have a conversation. And today we're really excited to have on the program Corinne Hilgeman. And Corinne is going to be talking to us about practical ways to support family members with ADHD. So Corinne, welcome to the program.
Thank you. I'm looking forward to this chat we're going to have.
Well, Corinne, tell us a little bit about yourself.
So I currently work for E3 Consulting, which is an academic company that provides one-on-one support for students. I've been there since 2017, but E3 has been supporting the North County community for almost 18 years now, which is kind of wild to think about. And so we support all ages, kindergarten through college, all school types, all different needs, different, you know, learning difficulties, differences, all that sort of thing. And so my role in that is I mostly work with a pretty wide age range, but my focus is on supporting students with executive functioning difficulties, which then means that the majority of the students I work with do have ADHD or ADHD presenting with another diagnosis.
Okay. So it sounds like you really have a unique role in you're really being able to personalize so many different things for so many different people, but it centers around ADHD.
Yes, that's one of the great things that I like about our work is we really tailor it to the individual students. So we spend time getting to know them, working with the family, other professionals in their lives to really come up with a plan that's going to help that student be the most successful. Because what works for one kid, even if they have the same diagnosis, it's not going to work for, you know, another student. So just really a holistic kind of individual approach.
So tell us a little bit about ADHD and what that looks like for most people who have it. And what are some of the challenges they face as a result?
So essentially, ADHD at its core is just that the brain is lacking in dopamine. And so a lot of the behaviors we see with people with ADHD is they're just constantly chasing that dopamine. There's even some neuroscience that says, you know, eventually in the future, we might be able to even pinpoint the exact part of the brain, because it's even different in each person, which part of the brain is lacking that, and kind of treat it in that way. But that leads to all sorts of complications. It's difficulty with things like emotional regulation. So sometimes people can get very upset very quickly. They can kind of have mood swings. They can also struggle a lot with executive functioning, which I know is kind of like one of those words that gets thrown around a lot, but really all that means is just any skills that are related to organization, planning, problem solving, time management, that sort of thing.
Okay.
And so all that can create all these other issues. So then that translates to, you know, struggling with meeting deadlines or struggling with work completion. Also, motivation works totally different for people with ADHD, and it does not work the same for them as it does for, you know, neurotypical people. And that is a really big struggle for a lot of people with ADHD as well.
Well, that's interesting. So specifically to your motivational systems for different people, why don't they typically work for people with ADHD? Does that come back to the whole lack of dopamine?
It definitely does. And it goes to kind of that emotional regulation part as well. But for people with ADHD, motivation, it needs to be either something that's very like novel, it's super new, has to be really fun and interesting, or it has to be really pressing. So that's why a lot of people with ADHD might procrastinate all the time, but they'll do really quality work, which is kind of surprising. You're like, you just started this at 10 o'clock last night, but it looks incredible. It's like their brain, you know, I always say I'm like ADHD, it's difficult, but there are also certain things in their brain that work differently that allow for stuff like that. It's like their brain's going to just kick up into high gear and they're going to just like power through and make this incredible presentation. And you're like, I would never guess that you did this in, you know, 8 hours. This should have taken so much more time, but they're able to just kind of power through that. People with ADHD also have struggle with working memory, which can make task completion really difficult, because working memory is just kind of being able to hold stuff in your brain as you're going through. Okay. And, you know, if you're constantly having to look back, oh, I can't remember what that word is. I can't remember what that formula is. right? That gets really tiring, and that can make those tasks more difficult. And when something is too difficult, the ADHD brain is just like, nope, not going to do it. So it's not just that they don't want to, it's that the brain chemistry really, truly makes it nearly impossible to get started with typical motivational systems. So a lot of times you're tricking the brain. You're making yourself different deadlines, or you're attaching it to something different, but just being like, oh, well, this is important, so you should do it. That doesn't work for the ADHD brain.
So when it comes to the ADHD brain, is there something that we should be doing regarding positive reinforcement work over negative consequences?
Yes, definitely. So with negative consequences, a lot of times those are more of like natural consequences that are going to work sometimes for people with ADHD. That stuff like, I forgot, this binder to bring to school for a student. So then, okay, you didn't have your assignment, and you have to go talk to your teacher, figure out a way, can I turn this in later? But negative consequences, because people with ADHD struggle with emotional regulation, those negative consequences can sometimes feel really overwhelming.
Okay.
More overwhelming so than for someone who's neurotypical. So the positive reinforcement is going to also kind of help give some of that dopamine to the brain that it's constantly chasing. And so when they're getting that dopamine, they're getting that positive reinforcement, the brain is going to go, ooh, I like that. Ooh, okay, yeah, we're going to do that. Because when we did that, we got this positivity, we got this little treat, it gave us a little bit of dopamine, and now we feel good. So that does tend to be a little bit more impactful, because the negative consequences are going to feel a little bit more overwhelming because of that struggle with emotional regulation. And there's, a kind of more intense feeling of rejection that people mm-hmm. with ADHD are going to feel from just something like, oh, that maybe would seem like a normal consequence, like, oh, well, you didn't put your toys away, so now you can't have this toy for the rest of the day. That's going to feel really, really tough for a kid with ADHD versus a kid who does not.
Well, that makes sense. And I'm guessing that maybe some of the typical things that a student would use, like a paper planner, might mm-hmm. not necessarily work for a student with ADHD.
Yes. Paper planners, sometimes they can work, and there's some really cool options online. If you just do like a Google search for like ADHD planners, there are so okay. many cool things out there that are made like by people with ADHD, made by, psychologists and stuff that don't just look like the typical standard planner. But anything that's digital, I found, is so, so helpful for my students, because they can access it anywhere. If you just have this kind of digital planner that you've put in your, your Google Docs, or is in your email or something, they can access that anywhere, because, kids with ADHD, they lose stuff all the time, and they're constantly forgetting stuff at home, leaving it somewhere. And then that just becomes really overwhelming. And then they get really down on themselves for even losing that. So it's kind of a vicious cycle that gets, that they get stuck in there.
Right.
But
right.
Another one that I really, really love, and especially for my middle school and high school students, they really enjoy this, is a website called Habitica. And so Habitica is a gamified platform for habit building, and they have a section for a to-do list. And I have my students just put all of their homework, all of their tests, all their everything in there. And it's so great because it lets you put tags on everything, so you can tag it with each class. It has an area to rate the difficulty of the task. So even doing something like that, and then when you're starting your homework, it's okay, let's start with an easy one, then do a harder one, then do an easy one. That tends to be a better way for students with ADHD to do their homework, because if it's okay. just, oh, I'm going to just like do all my math and all my history. But if you kind of do, okay, like easy and then difficult, kind of works a little bit more, kind of eases them into it. If they do something too difficult right at the beginning, they're going to feel really overwhelmed. They're going to be more likely to just kind of stop and give up and then not get through anything else. So starting with a few easy homework assignments kind of tricks the brain. Like I was saying, the brain goes, oh, okay, this is easy. We're getting through this. Mm-hmm. This isn't that tough. all right, we're in work mode, we can do this now. And then they're more likely to get through the rest of it. And on Habitica, as I mentioned, it is gamified. So you have a little character, and as you're completing things off your to-do list, you're getting different points, you're getting gold coins that then you can use to buy things for your character. You also get these eggs that you get to hatch into different pets you take care of that are all different colors and types. You know, there's dragons and stuff like that. It's very fun. And then you can also go on quests. There's a social aspect to it where you can join a group and you go on these different quests. So it's very much like a video game. You're kind of going on these quests. You're, you know, battling these different entities and stuff like that and getting these rewards. So for students, that works because it is kind of tricking the brain. It's okay, I'm putting my homework in here, but since it's gamified and it's fun, they tend to have a really positive association with Habitica. So instead of being like, oh, I hate my planner. Oh, I always lose it. I don't know how to write stuff in it. It's, oh, I'm going to go put everything in Habitica so I can go check on my pets, or then I'm going to, you know, do my quest or whatever. So it remains a really positive association. And when you have that positive association with a tool like that, then a student is way more likely to use it.
And for our listeners, will you spell that website for us?
Yeah, absolutely. It is Habit and then ICA.
ICA. Okay, mm-hmm. Perfect. I love that. So what are some alternatives, I guess, when we talk about the role of food with ADHD? Mm-hmm. Is there any connection there? What they're consuming, and does that impact that?
There absolutely is. And this is one of the things that is such, you know, a quick and easy thing that I tell parents to try out. But especially for people who are taking any sort of medications for ADHD, they really need a lot of protein in the body for those medications to work in their best way.
Okay.
So a really high protein boost in the morning is so, so good for people with ADHD. It really loads up your brain. It's going to help those medications work in the best way possible. And it just really is going to be a good start off to your day. And that doesn't have to be a lot of people, they're like, oh, proteins. That means I have to give them bacon and sausage and meat. But really, there's so, so, so many different types of things you can do that are high protein that are going to work for your student. And even just, you know, a good balanced breakfast, but really trying to avoid too many carbs in the morning, just because when those carbs start to, you know, change into sugar and stuff, for a lot of people, right, we think like, oh, carbo loading, like that gives us energy. But for people with ADHD, that's going to actually make them crash a little bit later. So kids that have, you know, if it's just a lot of carbohydrates in the morning and it's not balanced out with some protein or, you know, some fruit, something like that, it's, you know, they're going to get to school and within a couple hours, they're going to start to crash. So that's one of like simple, quick, easy things that I like to give to my parents of just, hey, like, you know, there's lots of really easy, like little protein shakes and stuff like that, or just so many different things. If you even just like online, a resource I really love is Attitude Magazine, that is spelled ADDITUDE.
Okay.
And they have just incredible resources, mostly focused around ADD and ADHD, but really are just helpful for a variety of diagnoses and help for parents. And if you go on there and you do a search for like, you know, breakfast or ADHD recipes, they have tons of good stuff on there that's just like quick and easy, not just like, hey, here's, you know, meat or whatever, but even just stuff like, you know, okay, your kid wants a waffle, put peanut butter on there. That's going to add protein. So just lots of little switches that you can do.
So Corinne, you touched on this a couple of minutes ago where students may be on an ADHD medication. Are you also dealing with families that maybe have found an alternative to medications, and what would that look like?
It's definitely a mix for some families. They want to try different things out.
Okay.
I would say for my families that a student is using medications, there's a couple of different ways you can implement it. So sometimes that means that during, like, you know, school breaks, that you don't have your kid take it during those school breaks to kind of give them a time off from it. A lot of families also during the summer don't have their students take that medication to kind of give them a break from it. But we always suggest start taking the medication about 2 weeks before school starts back, because it does take time to kind of build up in the system and get everything back and going. Also, it could be your student is taking it and then you realize, oh, this isn't really working as well anymore. So really just encouraging parents that their kid is taking some sort of medication, that they're just kind of like checking in with their doctor pretty regularly just to make sure that the dosage is good and all that sort of thing. An app that I really, really love is called Smiling Minds, actually an Australian app, and they have a whole section for kids that are, you know, little, I don't even like to necessarily call them meditations because they're so short. They're like 2 to 3 minutes. And someone's kind of speaking and guiding them through the entire time, different, you know, breathing exercises, body scans, stuff like that. And I find most of my students, even if at first they're a little iffy and they're a little unsure, once we start doing it and they see, oh, okay, this isn't that bad. Okay, it's a couple of minutes. I do some breathing. I do this. All right, cool. I can do that. And then they start trying it at home. And then I start hearing from parents, they're like, oh my gosh, there's so much more. They're able to calm themselves and they're able to kind of get themselves into focus. I also teach this to my students for test prep, you know, which testing can be so difficult for people with ADHD.
Right. It can be really, really stressful.
Yes, it's incredibly stressful. And that's so much executive functioning, especially for like a Scantron. So for all of my students, I give them some breathing exercises that are really simple that they can do, and nobody's going to know what they're doing. It's not going to be something they're like looking at you, what are you doing? Right.
Something really practical. Exactly.
Yes. Yes. I would say one is, and I have students, I let them come up with names for it. So I always call it finger tracing, but I had one kid that said, I want to call it race car breathing. And that worked for him. But you just start at like the base of your thumb and you're just going to trace up to the top of your thumb. And as you're tracing up, you're breathing in. And then as you trace down, you're breathing out. And then you go up your pointer finger, breathing in, trace down, breathe out. So simple. And you can just repeat that as many times as you need to. You're regulating your breathing, which is one of the big parts of mindfulness. You're regulating that breathing, you're calming your nervous system, you're, you know, regulating the flow of blood because your breathing affects your heart rate. It's also interconnected. But then you're getting that little bit of touch by tracing your hand, and that can be really helpful for regulating the nervous system as well. But I would say that the mindfulness aspect is a huge thing that can be helpful for people, you know, not wanting to take medications, or even for someone who's on medications. It's kind of just like giving them, you know, it's helping them manage it a little bit more. So then when you have these other things like, you know, having a good diet, having, you know, even just like exercise and movement, you know, practicing mindfulness regularly, you know, things like that then become the tool set that help you fully manage that ADHD so that those students can be the most successful. Because most people with ADHD actually have very high IQs. They're extremely bright individuals, but then they end up feeling like they're not, because the way that like a standard school system is set up just really doesn't work for them. So it's finding these little tools, these little hacks, trying them all out, and then seeing which ones work best for them.
Well, Corinne, as we wind up our time together today, I've so appreciated learning a little bit more about ADHD and the fact that there are, you know, there's millions of children that have this, that are dealing with this every single day. Mm-hmm. You've given us some great websites to look at. Is there an additional resource or tool that would really be encouraging for families on this?
So the ones I mentioned are so great. The ADD Attude magazine. Also, we do put out through E3, we have a monthly newsletter and a monthly resource list, which I actually compile monthly. So if you go to our website, which is e3consulting.com with the number 3 spelt out, or you can find us on Instagram or Facebook at e3consulting with the number 3. And we have links to all those on there. Our resource list tends to be local stuff. So it's like events, you know, recipes, stuff like that, that are going to be impactful for families, easy things to kind of include in your routine. And then our newsletter is typically write-ups done by staff as we do kind of like professional development and different trainings and webinars. So that as we're learning to kind of give ourselves more tools, but then we're also sharing those tools with our community and with, you know, some of these parents that really do want to help their kids, but it can be so overwhelming to get that diagnosis and not even know where to start.
Right.
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, Corinne, thank you so much for your time today. I know this will be a great encouragement to our families and those who listen. So thank you.
You are so welcome. Thank you for having me on today.
Partnering with Parents is brought to you by the Classical Academies, a group of award-winning public charter schools serving over 4,500 students in Southern California. Suggest a future episode or advertise with us by visiting classicalacademy.com/podcast. Consider subscribing to our channel, leaving us a review, and supporting our Patreon page. Thanks for listening.